Today's reading is from the book of Revelation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. After all, you say, I'm rich and I've grown wealthy and I don't need a thing. You don't realize that you are miserable, pathetic, poor, blind, and naked. I correct and discipline those whom I love. So be earnest and change your hearts and lives. Look, I am standing at the door and knocking. If any hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to be with them and will have dinner with them, and they will have dinner with me. This is the word of God for the people of God.
May be seated. So not too long ago, I was sitting in the doctor's office. I was there, just my annual kind of checkup. And so I'm sitting off to one side, and a couple seats over, somebody else was sitting there. And most of the time, you know, I'm trying to mind my own business, things like that. And I'm sitting there, and the gentleman, a couple seats over, he starts talking to me. Okay, not bad. I mean, found out that we had some things in common. He had kids that had attended Porter Ridge High School, or my kids have attended as well. So we were kind of chatting there. And then, as we were doing that, he asked the question. You already know what question I'm talking about, right? It is the question that a lot of times I dread, because many times when I'm having just a normal kind of conversation, a good kind of conversation with somebody new, things get weird after they ask me this question. And the question is, what do you do for a living? And, you know, when I'm asked this question, I usually get one or two responses many times. And that is, I'm asked, what do you do for a living? I tell them I'm a pastor. And they're like, well, hallelujah, brother. You know, it's all this. So it gets kind of weird. All right, so that's usually one response. The other response is, what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. And it's like, Anyway, that just kills the conversation for some people. But in this case, you know, I'm talking to this guy and he asked the question. And I will say, I've never lied. I've thought about it, but I never have. I always answer it correct, honestly. And I said, oh, I'm a pastor. And he said, that's neat. He said, you know what? And he started to rattle off a lot of things that he does. Like, you know what? I really love this homeless ministry and I really try to support it. I try to be really good to people, all these kind of things he was telling about, all the kind of Christian values. And finally, so I asked him the question back. Not what you do, where do you go to church? The question. There, and he's like, he kind of hesitated, and it's kind of like, I haven't been in a really long time. I grew up going to church. Was baptized. I believe in God, and I like Jesus. And then he said, "So I'm kind of Christian." And I thought, you know, there is a sermon right there. There is a sermon right there, because I thought about that, and I thought, you know, I've known lots of folks, and I've been, you know, that kind of. Identify, I can relate to that, and I think a lot of people can, because I think we try to be good people as Christians. We try to be good people. We try to have good values. We believe in God. Maybe we grew up in church. Maybe we've even been baptized. And yet, a lot of times, we don't take our faith too seriously. Or we don't take it seriously enough. We don't allow our faith to impact our lives very much. So we're sort of Christian. So sort of Christian, my little definition is we have enough of Jesus that it makes us feel good, okay? But not so much that it really makes a difference in our lives. We're sort of Christian. And so I'm so glad you're here at St. Stephen today, where we're all about lifting you up, right? That's what we're going to do today. But the passage that Shelby read sort of cuts to the heart of this and really kind of speaks to this. So we find it in the book of Revelation, okay? Not the book of Revelations, but Revelation 1. There was written about 95 AD, and traditions say it was written by the disciple John while he was exiled on this little island called Patmos, where it was a penal colony where they sent people to exile. And while he was there, it says that he had a revelation from Christ. Right? And so Jesus said, write this stuff down. And so when you turn to the books, the last book in the Bible, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation comes from a Greek word, apocalypse. So many times it's referred to as the apocalypse of John or the revelation of John. It all means the same thing. And there's a lot of ways in which you can read this book. Some people like to read it very literally, okay? That it really is talking about what's happening and what's going to happen in the future. And that's one way to read it. Others believe that it's describing what was actually happening at that moment back in 95 AD with the Emperor Domitian and all those things that was happening in the persecution of Christians during that time. Some people say that it's actually simply just describing the ongoing battle of the generation after generation have faced of, you know, good versus evil. So there's a lot of different ways you can read it, and I think you can, it's probably a little bit of combination of all of that, but that's another series for another time. But John is given this revelation, and it's given to him in the form of these seven letters to the churches there in Asia Minor. So if you think of modern-day Turkey, that's Asia Minor. And so these seven letters John was given. And so I want us to focus on one of those letters that we just heard a portion of from this morning to the church at Laodicea. And so John is writing on the behalf of Jesus. And so as he's writing this, we're to read it as if Jesus is talking to us. And so it says in the very first chapter, write in the book what you see and send it to the seven churches. So again, Jesus is speaking to us, to the reader there. And this is part of what he says to the people in Laodicea. He says, we heard it a moment ago. I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Cold nor hot. I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have prospered. I need nothing. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Lots of warm and fuzzy kind of words, aren't they? Feel good passage, isn't it? Right? No, not at all. So again, so Jesus is saying, you and Laodicea, you guys are lukewarm. The Greek word there is this kleros. And it's defined in this way. The condition of the soul wretchedly fluctuating between a torpor and a fever of love. Now, torpor means what? That's right, I didn't know either. So don't feel bad. I had to look it up. And it means inactivity. And so in this context, it suggests this half-hearted, kind of convenient, comfortable commitment to Jesus in order to receive the benefits without fully surrendering to him. So sort of Christian. Because you are kleros, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Now, it's interesting to go back to the Greek there. The word spit, emio, actually doesn't mean spit. It actually means to vomit. Yeah, exactly. So, and Jesus is not playing around here, okay? He's saying, you know, because you're neither, I'm vomiting you out of my mouth, in other words. And then he goes on to say, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Let me pause here for a minute. Now he's talking to the folks there, obviously, in Laodicea, but again, Scripture is speaking to us now, and that's another way, again, to read this. And so he says you're rich, and I was thinking about that. Well, I'm not rich. At least I don't think I'm rich. But then, think a little bit more, well, in reality, comparatively so, I am. I mean, how many of us, we got in a vehicle that we probably own or we're paying off or whatever, but we got here this morning, right? How many of us maybe had breakfast? Or if we wanted to eat breakfast, we could have, but we chose not to. We just drank our coffee. Okay. All right, we did that. How many of us, we have a smartphone? How many of us order off of Amazon way too much? Okay. We live in a home, so we are rich. The bank account may not reflect it, but in reality, we are rich. And so Jesus says, when you have a lot, you can easily believe you don't need a thing. Well, I got what I need. I believe in God. I try to be a good person. I have good values. But I live as if I don't need God. That is, until I do need God. Right? Until I get that bad medical report and all of a sudden, I'm going to start praying. Right? Or I got a test at school and I didn't study for it. Man, there's when prayer is still in school for sure, right? Yeah. Don't need God until my spouse leaves and I got nowhere to turn. Or something tragic happens and then I need God. Or it could be the opposite. You got everything you want, everything's good, great job, maybe good income, house, all those kind of things, whatever. You're comfortable, everything is good. You have it all, in essence, but there's still this empty feeling inside. And you realize, I'm rich in things, but I'm poor in spirit. That's what Jesus is talking about again. You may not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You don't realize. Sort of like the time I was in a ministry workshop. I don't remember, we were doing something, and I was like kind of a conference, and I was there, and we had a break, and so I went to the bathroom, and afterwards I was washing my hands. I look in the mirror, and I'm just looking in the mirror, and I notice I got this big old piece of breakfast still in my teeth. I'd had it all morning. But I didn't realize. See. Or there was another time, I was, some years ago, thankfully, I was preaching and I thought, I got a really good message. It was really great. Preached at the, after worship, I go back to my office and I noticed my zipper had been unzipped the whole time. I didn't realize, right? I didn't realize. And many of us, we are lukewarm and we don't realize. We're spiritual, we believe in God. I must be okay then. But we don't realize that we're really lukewarm. And Jesus says that because you are, I'm going to spit you out. You don't realize you're spiritually wretched, pitiful, poor, blind. Our zipper's down. We got stuff stuck in our teeth. We didn't realize. Because we're sort of Christian. So how do you know maybe if you're lukewarm or not? I was thinking about that this week. And I think some of the things that are indicator, and we all do this. I do this. And that is we kind of rationalize our sin sometimes. And we kind of pick and choose. And we're rationalizing, well, this is not really a big deal. It's not making, it's not hurting anybody, whatever. It's okay. And yet we know it. We did the whole series on the Ten Commandments, and we know that it's, we are honest. Probably breaking one of those. But we have a habit, we rationalize. And yet Isaiah said, woe to those people who call good evil and those who call evil good. Okay? Sometimes I think we can be lukewarm if we're only turning to God when we need something. God's our 911 call, right? And so we only go to God when we're in trouble or something's happened. God's in our toolbox, but we use God rather than we worship God. Might be lukewarm. Might be lukewarm if we're really no different than the rest of the world.
When we say we're Christian, we like that label, we try to be good, all those kind of things, but you know what? It really doesn't make an impact in our life. It doesn't really change us. We still maybe we're profane, we're prejudiced. I mean, those are things, we all struggle with this stuff, okay? Or judgment, whatever it might be. But even though we're spiritual, even though we know, we don't let that impact us very much. We might be lukewarm. 1 John says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Now, let me just say this. When Jesus is speaking out to the Laodiceans there, he's not doing it so that they feel bad about themselves or they feel guilty or they feel shameful. That's not it. Okay? He's doing it because he loves them. Same thing when if we have children or a child, we discipline a child. We correct a child. What are we doing? We're doing it because we want them to feel bad? No, we're doing it. Why? We correct them because we love them. We do it because we know there is something better for them. The same way with God. It's not that God's mad at us. God wants us to feel bad. God's saying, I got something better. All right? Trying to correct you. Verse 19 says, be diligent and turn from your indifference. Another feel-good word right there, indifference. And yeah, that's where a lot of us are. We're sort of indifferent. We'll take it if it helps. If it doesn't, okay. We'll call on Jesus when we need him, but when we don't, you don't give him another thought. We'll serve maybe if we have time, give if we have a little bit extra, whatever. We're sort of indifferent. We're sort of Christian. Now, in the past, I'd give you a whole list of things to do. But here's the thing, what I've learned is that when I give people a list of things to do, they don't get done. Give a list of kids, hey, here's what you need to do today, okay? All right, you need to do this, 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 run out, and get home, and it's like, what did you do? Oh, I forgot, Dad. All right, so I'm not going to give you a whole list of things like, hey, you know what, you should read the scriptures. You should, should pray, talk to God, get connected maybe with a small group, worship, give, all those kind of things, serve, all those things, all important things, all wonderful things, all great things that help us. But I just want to give you one thing. Keep it simple today. And that is, right? That is, do something that requires faith. Do something every day that requires faith. And that's going to be different for every one of us. Do something that requires faith. So for some, it might be simply to, hey, I'm going to do what's right versus the opposite. You know, I'm not going to go along maybe with the crowd or I'm not going to respond to that Instagram meme or that Facebook post or whatever it might be that is derogatory or whatever. I'm just going to keep my hands off my phone or off the keyboard. That requires faith for some. For some, it may be to simply volunteer to pray out loud. Ooh, for some, that's requiring some faith, isn't it? All right. See, it's different for all of us. All of us, though. It might be to join a small group or to do a small group study because that requires faith to go into that space, to open up, to be, you know, to share. You know, that requires faith. It might be simply to consistently say, hey, God, you blessed me, so I'm going to bless you with part of what I have. To give consistently, that requires faith. Every day, do something that requires faith. Because I believe when we're doing that, we're conscious of that. We're not that lukewarm sort of kind of Christian. Why? Because we're trusting, we're serving, we're glorifying God. See, all that stuff requires faith. God's becoming more of the priority, like the Ten Commandments say, right? We did that whole series on it. What's the very first one? We already forgot. I want to hear nobody complain about saying, you know, y'all, we talked about the same stuff. Well, it's because we don't remember stuff. The very first one, right? Have no other gods before me. Worship only me. Jesus said the greatest commandment is love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There you go. That begins to happen when every day we're faced with something and we decide, all right, I'm going to be faithful in this. I'm going to trust God in this. Because then we're not so worried about what people think. We're thinking about what God thinks. We're not rationalizing our sins. We're confessing our sins. We're not hiding our faith. We're being bold in our faith. We're not turning to God only when we need God. God's becoming the priority. We can't help but be different. And you know what? Not everybody welcomes that. Some may criticize you for it. Others may respect you and be drawn unto you because of it. See, we're not asking God to make us comfortable. You know, we're asking God to help us be faithful. So again, here's your challenge. Put it in your phone. You see it. Whatever. Lord, help me every day. All right? Help me every day. Do something that requires faith. Every day, do something that requires faith. If we can remember that, then I don't think we'll be tepid. I don't think we'll be lukewarm. I don't think we'll be sort of Christian. I think we'll be striving to be really that faithful follower of Christ. Every day, something that requires faith. Let's pray. Gracious God, for all of us, forgive us for all the times when we only come to you when we need something. When we rationalize our sin, when we say we believe in you, but we don't allow you to make much of a difference in our lives. So, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, stir within us so that we might be better, the people that you've created us to be. Not lukewarm, not sort of, but fully devoted followers of you. So Lord, help us to live by faith. You be the first in our lives. And to serve you always. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.